This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Back on What's On Your Mind. Hello, everybody. I'm Scott Hannon. Kevin's playing in today for Todd, the Radio God Mixer. Well, Kevin's here most days, unless I'm on the road. He's manning the fire controls. Todd, of course, the Bismarck controls. 550K Fire, AM 1100, the flag. KTGO 1090 Radio in Tioga. Watford City, Williston, Stanley, Ray, you get the idea. KLTC on the Western Edge. 1460 on your radio dial on Dickinson. We appreciate you listening, folks. Thanks so much. A bunch of text coming in, including an answer to the question that was posed by Fred. And Wayne, you know who said that? Ronald Reagan.
Ah.
President Ronald Reagan. He also said, and this is my favorite wake-up call to the mushy middle and everybody else, democracy is never more than one generation away from extinction. Life as you know it could be gone for the next generation. You don't want that, right? You're a new parent, little baby in this world, maybe a little toddler at home. The next generation is theirs. No America? Extinct? A great experiment? I'm telling you, folks, it could happen. It could happen. So there's no doubt about it. I'm going to have to continue this debate on Facebook after the show later today, maybe tonight even. I'll share a lot of the comments that have come in by text, you know, sort of suggesting, you know, who cares about the mushy middle, and maybe we just don't have enough time to explore this today because I think you're misunderstanding me a little bit. Number one, on red flag laws, I'm just saying play the game with the mushy middle. Say you're for red flag laws as long as due process is guaranteed. It can't be, so there won't be any red flag laws. It'll go away. Say let's enforce the laws we have now. Then you play the game. You don't sit there and look like, nope, we're not doing anything. Nope, don't care, won't work. I mean, it won't work. It's stupid, but you at least got to put on a different face for people who are going to decide this election. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it's that crazy. But maybe it is. So anyway, we'll pick that up as we go throughout the program. But I do care about these things, too. You know I do. Senator John Hoeven, we have one little bit we need to catch up with, finish up, rather, in our conversation with him related to the readiness center that they broke ground on. So we're going to talk about that here before the end of the hour. We also have Pam Sagnus, director of the Behavioral Health Division, North Dakota Department of Human Services. Really interesting conversation about schools and mental health, and how Department of Human Services can help. Fascinating conversation. And then Governor Doug Burgum as well on the program. And we're going to start with the governor. And then also Josh Wynn, president of the UND, will join us at the bottom of the hour. So as you can see, we have a busy show. Okay, so for the governor, we had a chance to catch up and do a little more of the interview after our interview yesterday from Jamestown and the Education Innovation Summit. Okay? And a lot of wonderful ideas floating out there. A lot of different task force, a lot of things going on. It just what I described right there, DHS working with the K through 12, perfect sense. So my question to him is, how do you do all this? And is it like moving a big air carrier here, little by little, or can we do this in the time we need to?
Well, I think the way you drive change is not top-down during a time of disruption. You've got to have, you know, frontline leaders in the classroom embracing it. They attract their peers. People look at them and say, wow, things are really happening. And so we're trying to really, trying to give all the tools for innovation to, school districts, to buildings, to principals, and to teachers, and then support and embrace those people that are driving the change. And we know that we're going to be a diverse set of approaches. There's not going to be one size fits all. There's not when the feds come to the states, and there's not when the state goes to a local school district based on size, based on geography, based on local private sector partners that a school could engage. And so there's going to be a diversity of approaches, but there needs to be some common elements that go into that. And again, we're trying to here sort of teach the tools today and give people all of the, get the government out of the way, get the innovation rolling through that. So I think, again, today we're seeing a bunch of great examples. Some of these, I hope today, will catch fire and actually be applied this school year in other school districts, and then things start rolling from there.
there was a report card out for you recently, since we're in school, in the form of a poll that looked mighty impressive of your approval rating. I want you to give yourself a report card on, you know, you've done an amazing amount of push to get discussion going about how to innovate, how to reinvent government in so many different areas. Recovery reinvented, the education front, higher ed. How do you feel at this point in your term about the level of innovation and how that's being accepted bottom up?
Well, I feel like we're off to a good start. So I feel like we, you know, as they say, Buddy Malka's the Olympic gold medal sailor who grew up on a little teeny lake in Wisconsin and went on to win a bunch of gold medal sailing, said you never have to recover from a good start. And Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, Catherine, the First Lady, and myself, and we got off to a good start, whether it was resolving the DAPL crisis that helped get our energy economy going again, whether it was taking $1.7 billion out of a budget. We got off to a good start. But then from there, you sort of start building all the innovation going forward. And I think there's some really great things that are happening that are visible, and there's some great things that are happening that are invisible. And some of the stuff that's invisible is what's going on across all the agencies in North Dakota, the strategic planning process that we put together, where we pulled $107 million of just government waste out just by identifying it and excluding it from the budgets, going forward. What we're doing in terms of unification of IT infrastructure across the whole state of North Dakota, instead of running 57 silos, trying to do that in a way where it's more cost effective, but we've also got better cybersecurity for every citizen's data that we have. The way we are trying to rethink the whole chief people officer and chief operating officer roles, so the state of North Dakota starts actually running more efficiently like a business, as opposed to, again, a bunch of individual silos. So just basic business practices we're bringing, quite invisible, but at a time when we've got a workforce, there's over 15,000 people that work for the state of North Dakota between university system and all the state agencies, and many of them are baby boomers. Many of them are either at or at retirement age. We're going to have to hire 2,000 or 3,000 people just to maintain the workforce in North Dakota. And right now, the value proposition of working for the state of North Dakota is not a great one, because pay may not be great, leadership development opportunities may not be great, career paths may not be great, but man, you got a super pension if you stay for 40 years. You know any millennials that are thinking about taking one job their whole life? I don't. And so, we can be pretty lonely at the career fair with standing in the state of North Dakota booth. And so we've got to think about how we change our value proposition, and then we've got to, again, apply technology to become more efficient, so that maybe if 3,000 people retire, maybe we only have to hire 2,000 to replace them, because we lose all that incredible knowledge that walks out the door. That's going to be a huge loss for us, but we have to think about a way to try to innovate.
You took a trip recently with some legislative leaders and Bank of North Dakota president and others up to Canada to take a look at a petrochemical facility. We talked to Lieutenant Governor last week while we were in Watford City about this effort. And if I grasp all this correctly, we have a situation right now where, because of regulations related to flaring, we've got a situation coming where we may have to slow oil production because we don't have the capacity to use the natural gas. So we're going to have to hold the $100 bills in the ground along with the $1 bills when you look at the price differential in the commodities. There have been some major players in the state. You were actively working on, recruiting a whole industry here. Give us an update. Give us a sense of whether this is something that can happen.
Well, it can happen, and it's super exciting, but it all goes back to what we've been talking about basically forever in North Dakota, is how do we become less dependent on commodities where we can't control the price? How do we do more value added to those commodities here? And whether that's oil, gas, or any agriculture crop, how do we do more value added in North Dakota? And yes, you're exactly right, Scott. Right now, we're at about 1.4 million barrels of oil per day, and we're kind of stuck there because we, our limit is not that there's not demand. Our limit is not that we can't produce more. The limit is that we have got all this excess gas that's coming, that we're producing every day, that we have no place to put it. There's over 1,000 wells that have been drilled in North Dakota, but are not producing. So there's, because they're being held back. That production is being held back because of the gas issue. And over the last 4 years, as we doubled the amount of oil we produced, we quadrupled the amount of gas that we're producing. So the gas to oil ratio doubled the ratio between those two. So for every barrel of oil, we're producing twice as much gas as we used to. That was part of the reason why the projections we had were all off, because we have this abundance of gas. But that creates an opportunity, because the industry, the value-added industry for the gas industry, needs low-cost feedstocks. And we have so much of that resource here, so much gas in North Dakota today, and essentially it's free. I mean, when we're flaring it off, it's got no value. If people have to pay to put it in a pipeline, it's got negative value. So is that attractive, you know, to all the world's biggest, value-added energy producers? Absolutely. I mean, world-class companies like Dow and Shell, are looking at this and going, wow, there is a lot of gas in North Dakota. But the size capital we're talking about, a midstream processing plant that comes in, the gas plants that are coming in, that's a $250 million investment. And we applaud and herald and are grateful for every company that's come in and dropped $250 million bucks in North Dakota to help us with our gas problem. What we're talking about at this next level is $10 billion or more of capital that we're trying to attract. And we have a...
Think about that. Just wrap your mind around that number. Pretty amazing. More with the Governor Doug Burgum when we continue on What's on Your Mind.
Ethanol is important to agriculture and all of North Dakota. Jody Hoff, Richardson, North Dakota, tells us about the community impact from the Richardson Ethanol Plant.
It's been a fantastic impact. The whole region of North Dakota seen corn acres increase, simply put, a lot over the last 10, almost 12 years since Red Trail's been operating. High percentage of their distiller's grain is in the wet or modified form, which is shipped, you know, directly from the plant to feedlots for cattle feed. And in this part of North Dakota, that's a big deal. When you look at corn, and basically you look at the corn basis, we have a nice low basis here in Richardson for where we're at, western North Dakota. Yes, we're getting top dollar because of the low basis, and we have the benefit of only trucking it maybe 5, 10, 30 miles if you're, you know, happen to be that close to Richardson. But guys definitely come from 100 miles away, too.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities like Richardson, North Dakota. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Mineral owners, can you predict the future? Mineral Tracker can. Mineral Tracker is an online app that provides North Dakota mineral owners a simple way to project their future royalty income. Our proprietary algorithms allow us to use current market variables and your mineral ownership to give accurate past income estimates and future projections for your royalty income. When your future is unclear, turn to Mineral Tracker to bring clarity to your financial future. Go to MineralTracker.com today to activate your free account.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming land auctions include crop, pasture, and hunting land auctions in Grand Forks, Stark, Stutzman, Williams, Dunn, Morton, Botno, Slope, Oliver, McLean, Richland, Mercer, Nelson, Bowman, and Ramsey counties in North Dakota, Traverse County in Minnesota, Dewey County in South Dakota, and farm and construction equipment retirement auctions in Bismarck, Williston, Haig, Bowman, Dickinson, and Steele, North Dakota, and Ada, Minnesota. View all of these great auctions at Pfeiffer's.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What's in Your Mind is powered by Schwann Buick GMC Cadillac on the Strip in Mandan, by the way, and SchwannBuickGMC.com. The 2020 HD pickups are in. So if you're thinking, you know, those new Sierras and that new tailgate, that's nice and all, but I got work to do. Get yours. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
20 past the hour, Thursday edition of What's on Your Mind. Reminder, we're in Devil's Lake tomorrow at Dunn Brothers Coffee, right in that What's right on the strip on Highway 2. We'll be there actually for the entire show tomorrow. And 10 o'clock Fridays is our talk radio town hall. Senator Kevin Cramer is the guest most weeks, and he will be this week. We're combining actually the talk radio town hall and the Coffee with Cramer event. So we'll see you there. Hope to see you in Devil's Lake. Might have to do some fishing. I did find a pro. I got somebody lined up, so we're going to find out.
Oh, you're going to get them then.
Yeah,
get on them.
Looking forward to that very much. Hey, do me a favor. Bookmark the Coalition for Secure Energy Future, secureenergyfuture.org, that website. They're always updating things that are happening. It's a great way to let your lawmakers know how important affordable, reliable, and clean energy is. Lignite, coal, that's right. So your lawmakers got to know this. All of the above means all of the above. SecureEnergyFuture.org. Okay, more of our conversation with Governor Doug Burgum. This topic fascinates me because you can use a governor who is a business icon, right? And obviously, in his own right, just did a lot, accomplished a lot of things. Started Great Plains Software, sold to Microsoft, and on the boards of a bunch of different companies. I mean, a great North Dakota story. And decides to run for governor, gets elected big, and he's there, and now he's doing things. Now, he's not just doing what everybody else does. He's doing some other things, and one is using his connections in the business world to attract other businesses, in this case, a $10 billion investment into North Dakota in the value-added energy space. So he's telling about this, and I want to finish this up.
Real opportunity to do that here in our state because we've got the salt caverns for storage, we've got the water, we've got the rail capacity, we've got this low-cost feedstocks, we've got demand. We have all these things that we have to do, but some things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to produce more electricity because that industry drives a lot of pumps. When you're doing refinery business, when you're butane, propane, polyethylene, making plastics, all the value added, all the things you can do with a molecule down the chain requires a lot of electricity. But guess what? We can create more electricity because we have great sources of electricity here, and we can take some of the high ends, the ethanes, and we can use that to create electricity. And that also increases the amount of gas we can put in a pipe. If we take some of the heat out of it, you can put more MCF down the pipe. And so, whether it's for export or value add and other things. So these are all synergistically together, and we're making great progress. People are very interested in coming to our state, but it's going to take an entire team state effort. We're going to have to work together on infrastructure corridors. We're going to have to get, Highway 85 has got to get four-lane. We got to build corridors where we don't have power lines going over the top of roads with height restrictions. We got to get those buried. We got to have hardened roads. I mean, when I was up in Alberta, I saw a 1 million-pound building that had been built off-site and was brought in and dropped in place and came down a road without anybody having to move a highline wire and nobody having to get any road restrictions. I mean, so that kind of infrastructure supporting the whole industry, those quarters. But we have, and this is not an industrial park. This is an enterprise zone. The thing we saw up there was 260 square miles. With over 100 companies, with 75,000 jobs, communities that had beautiful schools and beautiful fire stations that used to be 5,000 people or 35,000 people, and now we've got the new airport at Williston. We have a bunch of stuff going on. Anyway, if people say it can't happen in North Dakota because it's too cold, too distant, and too far north, we were northeast of Alberta, or we were northeast of Edmonton. There's 8% unemployment in Alberta. The Canadian government is strangling the energy industry. We could get a bunch of folks from Alberta to move south, to build these plants and work at these plants, and they would love working in a pro-energy, pro-business environment.
And the taxpayers benefit because the oil production goes up, not down. So the taxpayers who currently, by the way, benefit 50% of all taxes paid in North Dakota by the oil and gas industry, it's huge. Thanks, Governor.
Thank you, Scott.
Governor Doug Burgum at the Education Innovation Summit in Jamestown yesterday and continuing today. Today, the focus on mental health. And I just see so many things that we talk about every day on this program, that are being addressed, which I think is great. How you explain them, how you, shape them, all, something we need to be concerned about and be part of. There's no doubt about it. But at least that discussion is happening. And there's an area where I give Governor Burgum credit. Department of Human Services has always done what the Department of Human Services does. Well, right now, there is an effort underway, and the effort is for the Department of Human Services to team up with K-12 education and give educators the assistance they desperately need right now. They absolutely desperately need. We asked questions about that to Pam Sagnus, who's the director of the Behavioral Health Division of the North Dakota Department of Human Services, and started with what's the idea here? What's the plan to help K-12 with behavioral services from DHS?
Well, I think one of the most important things is just recognizing that for the last couple of years, there's really been growing awareness of the behavioral health crisis that we have in the state of North Dakota. And so one of the things that we need to work on in order to really benefit education in that system is we need to address the gaps that we have in our behavioral health system, and then also work to have shared goals when we look at, you know, classroom behavior and look at access to services. So we're really excited about the opportunity today here at Education and Innovation to have an entire day where we focus on behavioral health and all of the new things that are happening in the state.
Governor said he wasn't sure that this had been done anywhere else in the country. He wasn't aware of it, to have an entire day focused on this. So we're leading a little bit here. We're innovating here a little bit. We have a crisis in behavioral health. You just described that. What is that? What is the crisis?
Well, I think first and foremost, we don't have access to the services that we need. So if you live in a rural community, it's really difficult to get access. So sometimes that access might be with a clinician. You know, you go on a waiting list that's 6 weeks out in order to get, you know, a medication review with a psychiatrist. But the reality of North Dakota is we're not going to have psychiatrists in the Burke counties of the world, right? And so we need to look at how we expand our workforce, how we can be innovative in thinking about how do we get services in rural areas. One of the most pivotal things that we've done just in the last year has been increasing peer support. So peer support is where you have an individual with lived experience who's able to support someone else in services. Now, that doesn't replace treatment, but it certainly provides services that don't normally exist. So someone can go to treatment. And take, for example, Western North Dakota. You live in Williston, and you need residential treatment services. You might have to go to Fargo in order to get those services. You've now been disconnected from your natural supports in your community, your church, your family, the people who support you. Your children potentially have to be placed with someone else. And we've disconnected you from your job. Sometimes people even lose housing because they're not able to maintain their rent and their finances while they've been placed in treatment. So even if they successfully complete that treatment program and get through all of those challenges, they come home. And what are the services that we have available in order to continue supporting individuals in recovery? That's where we can look at individuals like peer support specialists who have that lived experience and can help someone to navigate that system. There's no reason that we don't treat behavioral health on an equal footing that we do health. And so we need to really ensure that payers are reimbursing for behavioral health support services. Think, for example, emergency departments. If someone comes into the emergency department and they've had an overdose, is there a reason why we wouldn't have someone who's also experienced that same thing that can help that individual navigate how do I go from this emergency department today to find recovery?
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. The governor mentioned too that that's been very successful. Are you able to? They are. They're doing some good things, some bold things, and I think it should, you know, it's something we should all applaud and be glad that they're thinking about all of them. Do you see that behavioral crisis? We're going to have to finish that interview tomorrow on the program. President Josh Wynn of UND when we come back. Don't go away.
It's time for the Medora Minute. We're on with Justin Fisk with Medora. I love the musical theme, Justin. Be legendary.
We always celebrate the legend of Theodore Roosevelt at the Medora Musical, and this year we do it in a fun, new way. We include his charge at San Juan Hill in a really different way that people are loving, but we also are celebrating some legends of the Badlands that people are less familiar with. Some of the legendary ladies of the Badlands and the North Dakota Six-Pack, some legendary rodeo cowboys from North Dakota celebrated in the Medora Musical this year.
Tell me about the legendary ladies.
We tell the story of some of the hardy women of the Badlands that really helped build this place, folks that raised large families while ranching, numerous heads of cattle, the first teacher in Medora, and really just some of the people that you don't get to hear about a lot.
Explore it, adore it, Medora. Justin, we will chat soon.
Fully from the Badlands.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Nearly 8 hours after the standoff began in Philadelphia, the suspect involved in a shooting that left six Philadelphia police officers wounded was arrested. Reports are he surrendered after speaking on the phone with his lawyer last night. The incident began hours earlier when police tried to serve a warrant in a drug investigation. Thousands gathering at a baseball stadium in El Paso last night to remember the victims of the recent mass shootings at a Walmart there. Texas Governor Greg Abbott among those who spoke.
We may never fully understand the evil in this world or the hatred behind it, but here is what we do know. We know this evil will not overcome us.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
I'm thinking we need to get every inch out of summer that we possibly can. How many barbecues have you had, backyard barbecues? Less than you'd like? Well, then now's the time to kind of crank it up here in August and get it done. Our friends at Schweitzer's Gourmet Meats have, they bring it. They're the ones that sell North Dakota raised beef, corn-fed, grass-fed, all-natural raised beef. They process it. They have a butcher shop, so it is solid. And, of course, there's stores in Bismarck on Washington, right by Dan's and Running, 625 South Washington. And did you know Schweitzer's makes their own beef jerky? They have, like, a select variety of flavors for you to choose from. They make breakfast links now. Oh, my gosh. Got to get that. And Bessie's Best products, too, right there. How about this? Consider a quarter beef for the winter months. Get you some ribeyes, the porterhouses, for the price of hamburger. And even better, you tell them, hey, Scott sent me in here on what's on your mind, and you get a discount of that. So, great deal. 625 South Washington Street, the Schweitzer's Gourmet Meats. All right. Pam Sagnus, Department of Human Services. We're going to finish that conversation tomorrow. She talked about an interesting thing happening at Simley, an elementary school in Bismarck, that I want to sort of test the audience on a little bit and just, you know, sort of, again, this is sort of preventing what happened in El Paso and Dayton starting in kindergarten, right? Maybe or catching some of these things way before. And there's amazing things, again, she used an example that I want to talk about tomorrow on the show. The example was, okay, a child comes in, a child's late, and the teacher says not, why are you late, but are you okay? Everything all right? You know, maybe there's things you need to know about. Maybe there's things at home. Maybe she's caring for a younger sibling. I mean, all kinds of things. So it's kind of fascinating, and I enjoyed the conversation, and we'll finish that tomorrow with Pam Sagnus. Also applaud the governor for his leadership on education innovation as well. I think this is a great plan. So that continues today out in Jamestown. We're glad to be there yesterday and continue our coverage a little bit tomorrow. We'll also have Senator Kevin Cramer tomorrow on the program, and that will be from Dunn Brothers Coffee in Devil's Lake. We'll be there for the Talk Radio Town Hall and Coffee with Cramer event. We're looking forward to that as well. So stay tuned for all that. That'll be tomorrow. Stop by and say hello at Dunn Brothers Coffee, Highway 2 in Devil's Lake. We are pleased to be joined today by the president of the University of North Dakota, President Josh Wynn. Josh, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm good, Scott. Good morning to you.
I love the green tie.
Thank you very much. Yes. We like to show our colors.
There's no green like that UND green.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just isn't. I know that'll offend all the Bison fans, but it's the green. It's unbelievable.
So, on the other hand, there are many colors in the rainbow, so it's okay that there are other colors.
That's true. Yes, exactly. We're willing to share the color. So I know you're interim president. Do you like that label?
I like that it's interim, but I also like that the chancellor and the State Board of Higher Education made it clear that while the time period is limited, I am the president. So I'm not a caretaker. I wouldn't have taken the job on if I were just marking time until the next person comes. The university is moving forward. My job is to keep it moving forward, and that's what I intend to do for whatever time it is until the permanent president is announced.
Yeah, and that's, I think, important for people to know, right? Because you're able to get, you also have a history there, so you're able to bring some of your time, obviously. Talk about the first day you walked on campus at UND.
So that was in 2004. So I was recruited here to be basically the second in command in the UND School of Medicine and Health Sciences. And the first day on campus, I remember very clearly, I believe it was September 16th, 2004, and I was very impressed with the enthusiasm with which I was greeted and the great plans that we had for the School of Medicine and Health Sciences. And a lot of those have really come to fruition over the last 15 years. I've been dean now. I'm going into my 11th year as dean of the school. And the 11 years are matched by the 2 months I've been interim president. So it's been an interesting contrast. But the difference between my first day on campus and now is really impressive with the distance that the school and the university has come in those ensuing years.
So you came here sort of surprised by what you found. Do you think that's something that can be repeated over and over, that when you bring people in, they say, wow, this is happening here, and bring in that level of talent to keep growing the university?
So, yeah, so the surprise was on the positive side. Yep. And one of the things when we're recruiting non-North Dakotans to, for instance, a faculty position, the key thing is actually to get them here. There are some people, and I was one of them, quite frankly, who said, where's North Dakota? I mean, for people who are not born here, it may not be intuitive of all of the really nice things that are happening in North Dakota. But if we can get them to the region, get them on campus, whether it's UND or NDSU or any of the other campuses in the system, once we get them here, then we have a real chance of recruiting them here. And I think in a lot of cases, like my wife Susan and me, we then become part of the community. So yeah, we've been here for 15 years. We have no plans to leave. And our neighbors actually now, even though they say, yeah, we know you sort of moved here, but you two are North Dakota. And that sense of acceptance is really nice.
So you got the endorsement from the neighbors.
The neighbors did it. If the neighbors did it, yeah, I think we're okay.
Because, and I will tell you, that's not an easy endorsement to get. I've been here since 1983, 84. I still am considered an import sometimes. I think, you know, well, you're not from here. Of course, I'm a Minnesota boy, so not too far away. But, yeah, no, there's a little bit of that in the water in North Dakota.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, we've worked hard to be part of the community. Mentioned earlier that we spend some of our time in Fargo and some of the time in Grand Forks because my wife is a full-time cardiologist in Fargo. So we have a house in Fargo, but we also have a townhouse up in Grand Forks, and we've divided our time. Now we're almost completely moved into the university house on the UND campus. So we're very much part of the community, and we revel in that. We enjoy it.
That is great. Talking a little bit about, there's some recent news we talked about on the air here that I know you are proud of, as well as the Alumni Foundation, of record fundraising.
Yeah. So
that would suggest that, you know, I mean, that's good news. Any way you look at it, that's good news, right? It's good news, and it's a lot of money. It's good news, and it's the highest year ever. It's more than double than last year. It's there's a lot of good news in that. Why is that happening? What's going on there?
So I think that there have been some notable things that got into the news that maybe some people thought would get in the way of fundraising. And I think what the record year says, is that people understand that UND is moving forward, that the programs are right for the citizens of North Dakota, and that that is worth investing in if you are a donor. And some of the notoriety that got into the press, while it's real, that should not cloud the direction of the university. The university is moving forward. We're trying to meet the needs of the people of North Dakota, both on an educational standpoint, on a service standpoint, and on a discovery standpoint, discovering new knowledge that helps the people of North Dakota. And UND is doing that. So I think what it says is that people understand that there can be bumps in the road, if you will, but the overall direction is positive and is what people like. They like the things that we're doing. The new strategic plan, seven points that was widely vetted. And I think most people say, yeah, UND is headed in the right direction. And that gets manifested by donors being so very generous to the university, to the foundation, and thus, most importantly, impacting students in a very positive way.
Some of that in the news that you talk about, that controversy came at the hands of Mark Kennedy, but sort of the strategic plan. So, I mean, was there more good than bad in your mind in the leadership of Mark Kennedy?
The way I like to, the answer is absolutely yes. And the way I would say it is, let's not confuse the message with the messenger. Most of the programs, I would say virtually all, I have not only no problem with, but I and my colleagues, fellow faculty members, and the community actually think they were right, too. I mean, let's go through some of them. The strategic plan, widely vetted, widely supported. Is it perfect? Of course not. Is it going to be in evolution over time as circumstances change? Of course. But it's a really good starting point. Addressing deferred maintenance on campus. Clearly, that's an important thing to do. It really hasn't been addressed properly before. Beautifying the campus. Taking care of road construction that needed to be done. Addressing issues like student debt. I mean, those are important things. They are going forward. And the fact that the messenger of them was somewhat controversial at times, shouldn't detract from the importance of the projects. And the projects, I think, are largely spot on.
You know, Mark Kennedy was a friend of mine. I knew him when he was in Congress, and obviously Minnesotan as well. I think he might have spent too much time in Washington when you talk about the messenger, right? Because he just kind of had that abrasiveness to him sometimes where he really, you know, I mean, he was always thinking, he was always going. He was never a guy that was going to, you know, go the wrong way. But sometimes I think the messenger and the message analogy is a good one. And you have something there to build on, right?
Well, that's actually one of the reasons that I accepted the job of interim president is, it isn't like there's a tremendous amount that's broken as far as programs, as far as personnel, as far as moving the university forward. So I felt that I was coming into a situation that didn't have a lot of potholes in it other than the one we're talking about. And I think, quite frankly, my track record over the last 15 years is that I can try to work with people. I think I do effectively, and that what's important, again, and I hope I've demonstrated that, is that the message, the substance, is really a lot more important than the messenger.
And at this point, that's rearview mirror, right?
So I have an expression about that I'd like to use because I agree with you. And the expression is, it's okay to look in the rearview mirror. Just don't stare.
Or you're going to crash into something, right? Yeah, yeah.
So it is rear view. I don't think we should forget about it. Yeah. I think it should inform how we do things moving forward, but I don't think focusing on it is the thing to do. I agree completely.
You're talking about a lot of positive things that are going on up there. I want to talk about when we come back where maybe something is broken, where you see the biggest blinking light on the dashboard of UND and what you want to begin the effort to take on. We'll continue our conversation with the president of the University of North Dakota, Dr. Josh Wynn, on What's on Your Mind after this short timeout. Don't go away.
Thrive Fest North, August 23rd through the 25th. What's going to constitute success for you in this event?
What we're looking for is changed lives. That has ripple effect in concentric circles. So when one person's affected, the others around them will be as well. And so we know that this community and this whole region, really, you can draw a circle 300-400 miles wide, needs positive things to occur. We believe that through Christ, that's the best way to start. And so we expect to see positive changes. We expect to see maybe new ideas launched. If there's others that are interested in stepping on board with the human trafficking and helping in that regard, or even in, as we do these and going forward and being a part of the work of them. It is a family event, so it will be geared for families. Even though we're dealing with some of these other issues, it is for families. And so with the camping and everything like that that we will have there, we want families to know it will be family friendly.
Thrive Fest North, August 23rd through the 25th at the North Dakota Horse Park. The number is 612-554-4804.
For a few years, you've heard me talking about Every Day Made Better. I live it. In a hot spring spa from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Vince Webker, the owner, is here. So, Vince, I'm telling you, nobody should go through a winter like this without a hot tub, a sauna from Hot Spring Spas.
Well, nobody should go through life without a hot tub or a sauna. It actually makes you live better, possibly live longer. It corrects your wellness sins. You do things better by sitting in a hot tub or a sauna daily than you do without, because it does some stuff to the body that we could get into technically. But as I always say, it makes you physically better, mentally better, relationally better. To go through life without one, I think is tough, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where we're 25% more stressed out this year than we were last year, and it's just a way of life. And this thing is a true blue stress reliever.
And great financing right now. 60 months, no interest. 5 years, and you don't make your first payment for 6 months. Plus 12 months, no interest, no payments. That's another option. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, online at hotspringnb.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Back on your What's on Your Mind, we are proud to support the coal industry for a lot of reasons. But probably foremost because of you, our listeners. We care about your bottom line, and we don't have affordable energy without coal, period. We don't have reliable energy. Think about a, you know, North Dakota vortex, right? Ouch! You know, you got your polar vortex with the, and the power goes out. You need reliable energy. You need it stable. You need it always there, always on, ready to go. And that's what coal is. That's what the good people, the coal industry, provide North Dakota, this lignite industry, part of our history and our heritage for so many decades, and we do appreciate what they do. We encourage you to be part of the team, too. It's SecureEnergyFuture.org. That's the website, SecureEnergyFuture.org. We're finishing our chat with Josh Wynn, who's the president of UND right now, interim in that position. There is a committee now stood up to search for a president. No timeline set, just they are looking, and in the meantime, President Wynn, who is, of course, been a part of UND since 2004, is leading the ship. What worries you as you take on this new post about the UND? I hear people say, for instance, campus. It's like, you know, the restaurants are hurting because kids aren't there anymore. It's cleared out. It's, you know, da-da-da-da-da. There's a whole new thing. It's online, but it's just not the same UND anymore. Is that true?
No, I don't think it is. Let me just answer your question about what worries me. You know, what have I seen in this long time period that I've been interim president? It's all of 2 months. So, but I remember, even though I've been at UND for 15 years, for 15 years minus 2 months, I've seen it through the prism, through the lens of someone who's focused on healthcare and educating health professionals. Over the last 2 months, my horizon has widened substantially as I'm looking at the entire campus. And I'll tell you what I've learned, and I think the single most important issue you touched on, is the change that will occur over the next decade or two decades. Number one change is a demographic change, where there are going to be, not only in North Dakota, but throughout the entire United States, a diminishing number of high school graduates. Just because the baby boomers aren't having babies anymore, and the babies are growing up, we're all of higher education will actually have fewer of the traditional students. On the other hand, there is at the same time a growing feeling that there will be a change in how we deliver educational products, as you said, online as part of it. And a third big challenge is a large reservoir, let's call them, of people, citizens, who have either started college and never finished or never even started. I mean, it's a minority of North Dakotans and Americans who actually have a bachelor's degree or more. And in the changing economy that will be occurring in the future, we need to have our citizens, especially North Dakotans, prepared for the changing economy as we go forward. I see that as the biggest challenge, the biggest issue for UND and other institutions, but UND in particular, moving forward, to make sure that we are anticipating the needs of North Dakotans from an educational standpoint, and we're prepared to deliver that educational program in a way that they find attractive and that they complete. You know, it turns out a little over a third of Americans have that bachelor's degree or more, but two-thirds of Americans actually have some degree of college, but they didn't finish. So we need to think very strategically about how we meet the needs of North Dakotans so that they get the training and the degrees, if that's what's necessary, so that they can be competitive in the changing marketplace that is occurring and will continue to occur over the coming decades.
So as you look at UND over the last 10 years and look at the next 10, what's the right number? How many students should be on campus, traditional versus non-traditional? What's the number, you think? Is there a goal?
So I do not like to set numeric goals, because then when you do that, the tendency is to fill those numbers no matter what. I would say the right number is the number of students that we can accommodate and give them the tools that they need. And saying that we need to have a certain number of students so that we, for instance, can maintain our budget, I'm not taking that approach. I'm taking the approach, what are the needs of the community that we have to meet, and we will right size to be able to do that. Now, that may mean we're bigger, it may mean we're smaller, it may mean we're the same size, but the goal needs to be satisfying the need and not satisfying the financial appetite of UND in some arbitrary way.
Makes sense. I only have a few seconds left, but do you see, if you had a magic wand, would it grow? Do you think it does get bigger? Do you think there's a market there? Which of those three do you think it does?
I actually think that there is a large market and we use the term market, but there's a large volume of citizens who could profit from better tools so that they are even more competitive in the workplace. And that includes military. It includes people who maybe thought about college but couldn't or didn't complete it. And it's non-traditional students. So if we look at all of those, I think there are many people out there who could profit from a UND educational program.
Fascinating conversation. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it and look forward to more conversations like this for our listeners.
I enjoyed it, Scott. Thank you.
President Josh Wynn, interim president at UND. See you, folks. Don't forget we have the Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo Hotline. If you see somebody doing some great things and have that Be the Buffalo spirit, let us know. 855-200-1776. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Hi, I'm Elise Putlich, a Putlich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Putlich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Imagine the perfect flow of grain from the field to the bin. Imagine a single rotor that ensures both quality and productivity. An advanced system that optimizes harvest settings on the go. You don't have to imagine. With features like AFS Harvest Command, an axial flow combine from Case IH always delivers the perfect flow.
Plains Ag supports NDSU athletics. Go Bison at Target Field.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, and bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.